And good morning. Welcome in to the front porch here on this Tuesday, the 22nd day of July. And across the way is Jim Dozer Adams.
Good morning.
Well, good morning. How you doing? How are you doing this morning?
Well, I know fine. How you doing?
Finer than a frog hair split two ways. That's pretty fine, right?
That's pretty fine, yeah.
Or I could say I'm finer than Skeeter Fuzz. You ever heard that one?
No, I have not. And I've been happy about it up till now.
Oh, me. Well, we got to have some fun, don't we?
Yeah, we do. We do.
It's all right to laugh a little bit. Laughter's good for the soul, I believe.
It is. It's good like a medicine. Helps you feel better.
That's right.
There was a man who wrote a book about a decade or two back, and he had, I've forgotten what he'd been diagnosed with, but you know, air gloom, it's just going to get worse and worse, and then you're going to die.
Mm.
And he was, you know, trying other things, but he was reading the scripture and talked about laughter does you good like a medicine. So he says, okay. So he just started finding excuses to laugh, jokes and funny things, and lo and behold, it got better.
Well, there you go.
Yeah.
So there you go.
And whatever it was, you know, beating him down, it got beat down to the point where it could beat it the rest of the way down, and he lived quite a while after that.
Amen.
But a lot of it is good because our attitude has a lot to do with
it does.
With our physical health. It's not a
it does.
Thing of, I think I'm well, and I'm going to say I'm well, even though I'm not very well.
Yeah.
No, I'm talking that foolishness kind of stuff. I'm talking about just sitting there facing up to what realizing, especially if you belong to Jesus Christ.
Amen.
You know, there's going to be laughter in heaven, just laughter of joy.
That's right.
Might as well practice.
I believe that. I believe that. I really do.
There's a lot of funny stuff out there, and sometimes I'm one of them.
Well, I mean, you know.
Yeah.
You know, I'd rather somebody, I guess, laugh at me than make fun of somebody else.
So. Like I asked one guy who was a comedian. He said, what made you want to become a comedian? He said, well, I discovered they weren't laughing with me. They were laughing at me, and I thought I might as well,
Might as well.
Might as well help them out.
That's right. That's right.
We've got some good stuff going on, and one possibly the most bizarre thing I've run across in a while. We'll come up with that one a bit later on.
Mm-hmm.
But I got the latest edition of this Stand magazine that American Family Association puts out. They've got several real positive things and one or two things to watch out for. But I'm going to touch on that just a little bit. And then one bizarre item, and then we got a pretty good little meditation from James Montgomery Boyce we're going to finish up with this morning.
So. Of course, this is The Front Porch with Jim Dozer Adams this morning.
It is. And I mentioned that the Stand magazine has come out with some pretty interesting things. Here, last month was Gay Pride Month,
Oh, yeah.
Presidents get one day, veterans get a day, Memorial Day for those who lost their lives in service to the country gets one day. And, BLT sandwiches get one day.
Well, now, when you start talking about BLT now, if you was to take all that other away and put BLT, that'd be a good day.
Today is BLT Day. The LGBT community gets a whole month.
Oh, I know.
However, Gravity Research is a risk advisory outfit, and they said 39% of the companies that had planned to decrease their engagement in the annual celebration of LGBTQ, et cetera, and no single company had any plans to increase what they were doing. Major corporations have made large contributions in years past, like PepsiCo, Nissan, Citibank, Comcast, Anheuser-Busch, DIG, whatever that is. They either scale back or they pull the funding, as far as public's concerned. BMW, Cisco, NFL teams have not updated their logos to reflect this support. And a Target representative said the chain would still support local Pride events, but many of the stores reduced or eliminated their Pride sections and replaced them with USA-themed merchandise. So they're kind of backing off of that a little bit. So that's kind of a good thing. A couple of pro-life ministries have merged, ICU Mobile and CareNet. Now, CareNet has crisis pregnancy centers around the country, and ICU Mobile does ultrasounds on the mobile-type thing, like with a big trailer-type thing.
Sure.
And they have merged in order to combine their services and provide more services for ladies in crisis pregnancy situations. So that's pretty good. COVID-19 vaccines become optional for children and pregnant women before the CDC. Or you must do that. You should do that and give the kid a shot and give an annual booster. And they say, well, here's the key thing said that Parents should consult their health care providers and jointly decide whether their children should receive the COVID-19 vaccines and boosters. Oh, I will take parents. You got the veto on that, by the way, now. So you get to your health care, and they'll say probably, oh, well, you should probably get it just in case. I've had a lot of vaccines. I had worldwide immunity because I was deployable. And, I mean, bubonic plague and yellow fever and stuff like that, which don't make you feel good. But every vaccine I ever had actually prevented or reduced the likelihood of my getting the affliction. And they've discovered that the COVID-19 vaccine doesn't do those things. So I question myself whether they should call it a vaccine or not. I'm not sure what they should call it. But anyway, that's my 10 cents worth, and you can, I give change. Okay, anti-Semitic attacks are up ever since October 7th of 2013 when the Hamas did the attack on Israel. It started the conflict over there. So they've had this, you know, things like that. That's a bad thing. But they got some couple of athletes I'm really proud of. The two female Oregon high school seniors refused to stand on the medal podium with a transgender competitor. It was back in May. Alexa Anderson and Reese Eckert of a couple of high schools over there, they stepped down from the podium during the female high jump medal ceremony because a biological male named Zachary Rose, who now goes by Leah, was called to receive a medal. He competed in the boys' categories in 23 and 24, then he transitioned to girls' competition, tied for fifth place in the 6A girls' high jump. Anderson placed third and Eckert placed fourth. He said, they said that we didn't refuse to stand on the podium out of hate. We did it because someone has to say, this isn't right. In order to protect the integrity and fairness of girls' sports, we must stand up for what is right. Guess what? Boys playing in girls' sports isn't right.
Absolutely.
You know, so I'm really, you know, kind of proud of them. They just stepped in and said, "No, we're not going to stand on the podium with a fake."
I don't blame them.
Yeah,
it's good. I commend them.
Yeah, they got another thing that's starting to show up with this artificial intelligence, and you get kind of fancy with that. They've had some things go on. They've had some. They had a big major deal that somebody AI'd our Secretary of State's voice and sent phone calls to the lead heads of state in other countries and saying things that were not true, and they had to chase that one down.
Oh, yeah.
But another thing is happening is what they call deepfake AI pornography.
Mm.
And that's when they take somebody's identity and they artificially intelligence create something.
Yeah.
And so they have got a statute that was signed down. It's called the Take It Down Act, and it was signed into law by the president back in April. And it is federal criminal penalties for distributing non-consensual intimate imagery. That's a nice way to put it. And AI-generated deep fakes, in other words, they said it's now a federal offense to do that because it's a whole new aspect of bullying.
Yeah.
It can take place and other stuff. So that's taking a step to put the put the end on something.
Yeah.
So there's just a lot of interesting things. Also on the downside, funding for Planned Parenthood is an all-time high. Taxpayers became the largest financial contributor. We, as taxpayers, provide 39% of the funds used by Planned Parenthood, and PP carries out over 1,100 abortions per day, and they received over $2 million a day in taxpayer funding. Now, $2 million a day.
Wow.
Most folks I know, if you give them $2 million once in their lifetime, you know, a little judicious investing, and they're good. They can not only get by, they can do a whole lot of good in supporting other ministries and things, too.
Absolutely.
$2 million a day.
Wow.
Taxpayers are funding Planned Parenthood. And Planned Parenthood's primary business is abortions. That's what they make most of their money on.
Sure.
So they, 2024, they got $792.2 million in taxpayer dollars, performed 402,230 abortions. That's just the ones they have on record.
Wow.
So that's our tax dollars at work. But the fact they're coming with a lot of this and they're trying to curtail it and get it back.
Yeah, sure.
Public schools are starting to bring the Bible back.
Yeah,
Texas
like
and Oklahoma are doing that. They've started that. That's
I like
good.
That.
Thing.
Like
They've
that.
Got some objections to it. Of course, folks are fussing, but let them fuss.
That's what I say.
Let them fuss.
Let them do their thing.
They, let me get the other one. Yeah. We hear a lot about some of the Generation Z and say they're twice as likely, according to one survey, to identify as atheist, and only 4% of Generation Z had a biblical worldview. That was back in, 2018 they did that survey. Well, the Barna study did a 2025. They found that their commitment to Christ has increased by as much as 15% since 2019. The American Bible Society reported 58% of Gen Z now identify as Christians. So, don't give up on them.
Don't give up.
A setback is not a defeat.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
And of course, a jump forward isn't always a victory either. So you got to remember, a victory in a battle is not winning the war.
That's right.
But there's a lot of good stuff going on, and just try to touch on a few things like that. And you can get this as a free magazine from American Family Association called The Stand. If you drop them a note and ask, they'll probably send it to you. Now, I've said there's something bizarre.
Okay.
And this is a little potentially indelicate, except I'm going to bleep it. Something goes terribly wrong, says the headline. Church stuns with a worship answering featuring the LGBT F-bomb.
Oh, wow.
Now, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, if you go into a church and you sit down and the two people get up that are pastoring the church, leading the church,
mm-hmm.
and it turns out there are two females that are identifying as a homosexual male couple.
Yeah.
That's a little bizarre. And then they start off and they start off with an anthem that I can't say the title to because it's obscene. And then they have an anthem with that they were singing the whole time through. The thing to do is to just quietly get up, or noisily just get up, and go out and work your way out.
Mm-hmm.
And make a note of where that church is. It's affiliated with a mainline denomination. I don't want to say which one because that's their issue to deal with, if they do.
Yeah.
And they haven't in the past dealt with issues like that. So anyway, just step out and send a message. Where are you going? You say, I'm just leaving here before the lightning and the brimstone hits.
There you go.
And you might want to phrase that a little more tactfully, but then again, you might not. I don't know.
Yeah.
But this is the thing. Taking something that is an open rebellion against God.
Yeah, very much
and
so.
And not only bragging about it, but emphasizing it with obscenity.
Mm-hmm.
And in the house of God, in the house of the Lord.
Yeah. Well, and too, I know, Jim, that, protecting the church itself, but I've been in the church that you're mentioning, the association, and I remember back years ago, there was a lady that got up and spoke, and she read the sermon straight off of a piece of paper.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, sitting back there waiting to get up and sing, he's getting ready to sing and stuff at the church. And I was like, gosh, I said, Lord, I said, I could print off a piece of paper and read it and be a speaker. Yeah. To me, the Lord has to inspire you to speak a word, give you the words to speak. But when you come in there and just read it off a piece of paper, word for word,
I don't know, because Jonathan Edwards did that with his Sinners in the Hand of a Mighty God, Angry God, sorry.
Yeah.
And he got up there and read that thing out, and it sparked a revival. So a lot depends on, what's been written down. Basically, I got an account of that is he was just attending the service. They're just going to sit back in the back, and they saw him and asked him to come up and speak.
Uh-huh.
And he had this sermon that he had written in his saddlebags. Went back and got his saddlebags, brought up there and read that thing, and revival broke out in the whole area.
Yeah. But he wrote it.
He wrote it. It's his doing. Yeah.
Yeah, but I'm talking about just coming in and reading somebody else's sermon.
Yeah, that's a whole different thing. I know a young fella did that. I remember he was the associate pastor of the church that I grew up in, and I thought, well, that's the best sermon he's preached since. And then I got up, and I was helping clear things up, and I go up there, and his pages torn out of a book, and he'd crossed out a few things, and then a few of his notes on the side.
Yeah.
Didn't give any credit. Then I found out there was a search committee in the congregation, and he knew about it. So he did that. And I thought, folks do that all the time, Jim. Folks do that all the time.
Well,
they do, because we had just got time for this. Some friends of ours, they were missionaries, and they were back, and they were going to visit churches that supported them.
Yeah.
And they went to this one church, a very well-known church, and they heard a sermon. It was a pretty good sermon. It had a couple of little funny things, a couple of little jokes in it, but it was a good sermon.
Yeah.
A few weeks later, they were in a whole different church in a whole different state, and they got the exact same sermon, the exact same jokes, and the exact same everything else.
Really?
So possibilities are that both the pastors downloaded the sermon. The possibility is that the one of them, it was his sermon, and then he uploaded it, and somebody else downloaded it.
That's true.
And I understand that, you know, that occasionally you have to have one in your pocket.
Sure.
You know, just because, you know, that kind of happens. But
mm-hmm.
I prefer the time the pastor I visited the church in South Carolina, and he came out one time. He just kind of sat down on the floor there on the stage area and said, "Well," says, "you got your bulletins there, and you've got your page with your notes for the sermon, so you might as well put them up." I worked real hard on that sermon, and this morning the Lord said, "That's not for today.
That's not for today."
And I got a whole different message, and I got to do it. I tried to.
Yep.
I tried to go. Can I just put this? But so
Lord said, "No."
I got
nope.
a whole different thing to talk about.
Yep. Yep.
He just sat down there and poured out, you know, what his heart had given him. So you got to be sensitive to that. But
as
a friend of mine who was a pastor made the comment once, he was a military chaplain, and after the morning service, his boss said, "Oh, by the way," he says, "there's the 2 o'clock funeral for so and so. You got that." And he says, "I don't know anything about it." He says, "Oh, the Holy Spirit will take care of you." And he says, "Sir," says, it's been my option. The Holy Spirit and I work a lot better together if we have some preparation time."
Yeah.
So you got to figure if you're going to speak to the mayor or the senator or the president or somebody.
Yeah.
You're going to prepare your remarks.
Yeah, very.
If you're
going
to speak to the King of Kings and Lords of Lords, it's okay to prepare your remarks,
mm-hmm.
but you got to be sensitive to.
That's right.
And speaking of sensitive things, I'm sensitive to the fact I've run over time for Ben from the Heart again.
Yeah, let's get
surprise,
into it.
Surprise, surprise.
Here we go.
The Lord says in Isaiah 55:11, "So shall my word be that goes forth from my mouth. It shall not return to me void, but it shall accomplish what I please, and it shall prosper in the thing for which I sent it."
God is active in the hearts and lives of our listening family. Thank you, family, for sharing your thoughts with us. Also, thank you for praying, for listening, and giving to 100% listener-funded Missionary Radio.
Here are today's comments from Missionary Radio's Penned from the Heart.
From Clarksville, "I've been so blessed by your ministry. A friend introduced me to this station, and I've been called to give back. Thank you for continuing this wonderful ministry." From Hopkinsville, "Missionary Radio is a special blessing in my life. I'm praying you get the resources you need to stay on the air." From Murray, "God bless all. Love what you all do." And also from Clarksville, "I'm proud of the work you are doing and listen all the time."
Thank you for sharing what the Lord is doing through the ministry of 100% listener-funded Missionary Radio in your life.
We'd love to hear from you. Please call our testimony and Penned from the Heart line at 270-962-4055.
Write to us at P.O. Box 1029, Hopkinsville, Kentucky, 42241.
And online at missionary.radio.
And, of course, this is The Front Porch. I'd like to remind you this morning, Jim, I know you heard me probably talking about it earlier, but we have podcasts now.
Yeah, I heard that, and I don't even know. Yeah.
I mean, we're getting on top of stuff around here.
I tell you what, this 21st century thing is really going fast.
It's taking off, but yeah, if you go.
We had, you know, everything was tubes when I started out here.
I know. That's what it's the same way with me. I mean, you know, I can remember looking in there at the old 500-watt AM transmitter, Collins, and watching those tubes glow and get brighter as you raise the power, you know.
Yeah.
You had to start off at, like, I think it was like 18 watts during the overnight, and you'd raise it up, you know, and watch those tubes,
yeah,
you know, and everything. But, yeah, things have changed a whole lot. But we do have podcasts now, so you can go to our website, missionary.radio, and listen to The Front Porch.
Yeah,
anytime you want to.
Back issue Front Porches, I guess.
That's right. So anytime you want to hear what Jim says, to check on what he's saying, you can go back and listen.
Did he really say that?
Let me go back and listen. So, yeah, it's on there. So
let me and my lawyer go back and listen to that.
Don't do that.
Yeah, that actually is kind of exciting, though, because you can pick up something. And
yeah, sure.
You know, late at night, you want to hear, you know, something, you hook your phone into your radio and check out a podcast. You got somebody having a conversation with you.
That's right.
You can sit and argue with him back and forth.
I don't agree with that.
Hey, you should have told him so and so.
Yeah, I should have. But yeah, but you can listen. Like I said, click on podcast on our website, missionary.radio, and what's going to pop up is a rocking chair. Mm-hmm. Click on the rocking chair, and then you'll see all the past front porches. Mm-hmm. And, of course, Andrew's, I think, updating those as we go along. So,
yes, his interview program, is that going to be on there too?
I think maybe eventually it's going to be on there.
Those are pretty interesting.
Those are very interesting. Yeah. He does a wonderful job on that
program.
He does.
He does. Mm-hmm. Those come in usually at 8:30, 8:35, something
like that. Yes, around 8:30 on Wednesdays. Now, this past week, we had 2 days of it. It was really a longer one, so we had Wednesday and Thursday. So it was very, very interesting. Yeah. I got to catch a little bit of the Thursday one, and it was really good. So,
Okay. Just a quick touch on some things there. Just was pointing out. We got a situation, you know, you talk about being, you know, free speech. And a guy named pastor named Luke Ash, A-S-H, bivocational. He was hired as the library technician in East Baton Rouge Parish Library. That's parish like county, not parish like church.
Sure.
And he thought that would let him continue to support the family while he was faithful to his pastoral calling. But he took a stand. He declined to refer to a female coworker by male pronouns, citing his Christian convictions. He was told he violated the library's DEI policy, which claims to promote equity, diversity, and inclusion, but apparently not for Christians who believe biological sex is immutable. In other words, it doesn't change. You can pretend to be a woman or you can pretend to be a man, but it doesn't change what you are.
Yeah.
It does demonstrate that you are rebelling against the way that God created you.
Mm-hmm.
But it's more it's pretty complicated. So anyway, he was said either comply with a policy or lose his job. So he said, "I'm not going to lie. I can't do it." Basically, what he's saying is, this lady is a woman, a female woman. I'm not going to call her a he or a him.
Mm-hmm.
So they fired him.
Yeah.
Question is, what would Jesus do? But what would he have done? Well, if you remember in John 4, Jesus is talking to the Samaritan lady at the well.
Yeah,
and he talks about water and living water.
Mm-hmm.
When she gets interested, he says, "Go call your husband." Bada boom.
Yeah.
"I don't have a husband."
Mm-hmm.
Jesus responds, "You're right. You've had five husbands. The man you're now living with is not your husband."
Mm-hmm.
He didn't say, "You have a woman and have a man that's not your husband." No, he says, "Hey, you know, you're right. You've had five husbands. And this guy you're living with right now, you're not even married to him."
Yeah.
How did he know that?
How did he know it?
That was her question.
Yeah.
He didn't. He addressed the sin. He didn't condemn her. He said it to set her free.
Yes.
She believed him and her life was transformed. Then she goes and she tells everybody, "This guy just told me everything about my life." Apparently he told her more than that. So they all go out there and they listen to him. Mm-hmm. And then a bunch of them say, "You know, we believe this man's the Messiah too. Not because of what you said that, you know, got our attention, but because we actually heard what he said in reality."
Mm-hmm.
When you're reading the Gospels, in the New Testament, you're reading, in many respects, what Jesus is actually saying to you.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And if it pierces your heart, good.
Yeah.
Because that means you're not hard.
Yeah.
It means you're not totally resistant. It means you're not fighting against.
I was thinking, you know, when you mentioned that, you know, what about the lady that was caught in the act of adultery?
Yeah.
And the Lord said, you know, "Ye without sin cast the first stone." And, you know, sometimes you think, and I've heard my pastor say this, sometimes you think, I wonder how many of the ones that had the stone, that was getting ready to cast the stone, actually had possibly even done the same thing.
Yeah.
I mean,
well, or could have pointed out to him, she was caught in the very act. Well, where's the other one?
Where's the other one? So why?
You know, folks, you know, aren't there supposed to be two of them?
Yeah. So where's the other one to be cast, so we can cast stones at them?
Let's throw this out for free. There's a lot of discussion and probably a good bit of papers written and books written and comments said about what did Jesus write on the sand when he just started writing in there.
No, sometimes you wonder.
Check Hosea 4:14.
Okay.
When you get home. See if that doesn't match up. I don't know what Jesus wrote either, so this is not a divine revelation. It's just I was, you know, reading Hosea and I came across that and I said, you know, it could be. It's Hosea 4:14.
Okay.
Yeah, and
check that out,
and just see what you think. It's a possibility, and it makes sense, and it makes more sense than maybe he was writing down the names of those that had cheated. Maybe he's going to dig it out now, aren't you?
Yeah.
I got to ad lib while you're digging it out.
I'm curious.
But the point is that Jesus wasn't going to lie to this lady to spare her feelings. And Pastor Lukash said, I can't lie to this woman. It's not going to do me any good to continue and reinforce her in her rebellion, in her sin. I can't do that. The library has a policy not to fine patrons who don't return books on time, but they fire employees who refuse to address in forced
you said,
speech.
Hosea 4:14.
Yeah.
I will not punish your daughters when you commit harlotry, if I get that out, nor your bribes when they commit adultery. For the men themselves go apart with harlots, and the other sacrifices with a ritual harlot. Therefore, people who do not understand will be trampled.
There you go.
Hmm.
Could be. Good. I mean, he said it the first time.
Yeah.
You know,
it's true.
God said it the first time. Maybe he said it the same time.
Yeah, that's true.
But the issue is, you know, what Jesus did, he addressed the sin not to condemn her, but to set her free.
That's
Pastor
right.
Ash is just, he's pointing this out. There's a young man that we've known, and he is identifying as a girl.
Yeah.
Dresses like one, wears wigs with long hair, and he's talking about getting some surgery. He's not old enough yet.
Mm-hmm.
But he wants to be called by a female name.
Yeah.
And I said, don't just call him by his real name.
Yeah.
Don't reinforce, legitimize or encourage his rebellion.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's an issue because he may, you know, change around at some point.
Might do it.
Because he's already been encouraged not to get radical surgery.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So because that's a real mess. But
Anyway. All right. Well, Jim, let's break away real quick and get into our Johnny Erickson Tata Sharing Hope.
Let's do that.
This is Shauna on Johnny Erickson Tata Sharing Hope, and I love this song about God's love for us. Sing along with Johnny if you know it.
How deep the Father's love for us, how vast beyond all measure, that He should give His only Son to make a wretch His treasure. How great the pain of searing loss, the Father turns His face away, as wounds which mar the chosen one bring many sons to glory.
You know, recently I heard John Piper talking about that sort of love that Jesus has for us. And for his text, he used Isaiah chapter 62, verse 5. As the bridegroom rejoices over the bride, so shall your God rejoice over you. Now, think about that. Jesus loves you in the same way a bridegroom rejoices over his bride. When the Bible talks about God's love toward us, it's not like a reluctant judge showing kindness to a criminal that he finds despicable. No, it's like a brand new husband showering affection on his beautiful bride. You know, sometimes we joke and we say about a marriage, oh, there you go, the honeymoon's over. Because everyone knows that a man and a woman cannot possibly sustain the passion and the level of intense affection that you feel during a honeymoon. Sooner or later, usually sooner, the bubble's going to burst. Feelings will be bruised. Husbands and wives will settle into a more realistic world. A world where there will be arguments and disappointments and conflicts between the two. But that is not how it is with God, at least from His side. He makes it clear that His joy over you is like a bridegroom over a bride. And He doesn't mean it starts out that way and then fades. No, Piper says that God's talking about honeymoon intensity and honeymoon pleasures and honeymoon energy and excitement and enthusiasm and enjoyment that lasts. God's trying to impress upon our hearts that when He rejoices over us with all His heart, well, it's a little like Jeremiah chapter 32. I will rejoice in doing them good with all my heart and with all my soul. And then there's Zephaniah chapter 3, where it says, the Lord your God is in your midst, a mighty one who will save. He will rejoice over you with gladness. He will quiet you with His love. He will exult over you with loud singing. Oh, friend, don't you love it that the honeymoon never ends when it comes to Jesus and you? Even in heaven, God is infinite in power and wisdom and creativity so that there will be no boredom for the next trillion ages. There's boredom on earth, isn't there, between husbands and wives sooner or later, but not with Jesus. The honeymoon never ends. Just like this beautiful contemporary hymn says, how deep is God's love for us, how vast beyond all measure, that he should give his only son to make you and I a wretch, to make us his treasure. So we will not boast in anything, no gifts, no power, no wisdom, but we will boast in Jesus Christ, his death and resurrection, because what shall we gain from his reward? We can't give an answer, but this we know with all our hearts, his wounds have paid our ransom. Oh, friend, we've captured his heart, and may our hearts be captured with a honeymoon desire for him.
Hello and welcome. I'm Ken Cummins, and here's today's word in 60 seconds. The Bible says in Matthew 3:8, therefore bear fruits worthy of repentance. Rick Warren in Purpose-Driven Life makes note of this. It takes years for us to grow to adulthood, and it takes a full season for fruit to mature and ripen. The same is true for the fruit of the Spirit. The development of Christ-like character cannot be rushed. Spiritual growth, like physical growth, takes time. When you try to ripen fruit quickly, it loses its flavor. In America, tomatoes are usually picked unripened, so they won't bruise during shipping to the stores. Then, before they are sold, these green tomatoes are sprayed with CO2 gas to turn them red instantly. Gas tomatoes are edible, but they're no match to the flavor of a vine-ripened tomato that is allowed to mature slowly. Don't take any shortcuts. You're still ripening. I'm Ken Cummins, and that's today's Word in 60 Seconds. And remember, the world needs King Jesus.
Every time I turn it on, it really inspires me to keep moving forward, knowing that God loves me.
100% listener-funded missionary radio.
Music and programming to exalt King Jesus. Missionary Radio.
Back with you. Mm-hmm. We're back in. We're with our James Montgomery Boyce devotional issues, and we're going to start off from Mark chapter 16. It's the first seven verses. I'm going to take it on from there.
Okay. Now, when the Sabbath was passed, Mary Magdalene, Mary the mother of James, and Salome brought spices, and they might come and anoint him. Very early in the morning, on the first day of the week, they came to the tomb when the sun had risen. And they said among themselves, who will roll away the stone from the door of the tomb for us? But when they looked up, they saw that the stone had been rolled away, for it was very large. And entering the tomb, they saw a young man clothed in a long white robe sitting on the right side, and they were alarmed. But when he said to them, do not be alarmed, you seek Jesus of Nazareth, who was crucified. He is risen. He is not here. See the place where they laid him. But go, tell his disciples and Peter that he is going before you into Galilee. There you will see him. And he said to you.
All right. This is dealing with the resurrection of Christ. And it's the single most, if you had to pick one event that everything revolved around in Christianity, it would be that.
Yes.
There was an author, he was a newspaper person, unsaved, his wife was unsaved, and she, with a series of some crises, met a lady who led her to the Lord.
Yeah.
And she got the good, you know, a good full dose of salvation.
Mm-hmm.
There is no half dose, by the way, just, you know, I'm just using that to describe her new character that she displayed.
Sure.
Aggravated him no end because she wasn't doing some of the stuff they used to do. They weren't doing really, really bad stuff. They were just, you know. But she didn't want to go to the bars. She didn't want to go to, you know, all these kind of things. And she was studying her Bible. And a Bible girl kind of reaction to it.
Sure.
So he said, well, I got to do something about this. And a friend of his coworkers said, what you need to do is disprove the resurrection. Because if you disprove the resurrection, you've just knocked the pins out from under the whole, all of Christianity. So he set out to research it, and he researched it very thoroughly.
Yeah.
And he became, and it, he finally was convinced there is nothing as well documented in all of human history as the resurrection of Christ.
Mm-hmm.
All manner, I mean, he searched all kinds of places.
Yeah.
So Boyce picks up on that as he starts this meditation. He says, the resurrection of Jesus Christ is the best news the world has ever heard because, drumroll, it is true. It came after an apparent defeat. It proves many important things. And finally, it calls for a life-saving response from each of us. He goes, oh, we're going to elaborate on that a little bit. Number one, it is true. It is possible to have reports of events that sound like good news, but later prove to be disappointments because the facts of the reports are wrong or because the events actually did not happen. This was not the case with the news of the resurrection of the Lord. It is true, and the truth is one of the most amazing and important facts in history. We just had a situation in the United States where this had this report that the ICE agents had, you know, dragged this woman out and arrested her and all and carried her off and all this stuff. And did some investigation, found out the whole thing was made up, never happened. She was actually in the country illegally, and the whole story they were telling the newspapers was a fabrication. But that's not true with the situation with the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Number two, it came after an apparent defeat, key word being apparent. It looked like it was a defeat, but that was just the preliminary appearance. When Jesus died, his friends were plunged into sadness, Boyce writes. It was an apparent defeat, but, big but. But then, on the third day, he rose again. When Jesus died, men might have cried, Christ is defeated, evil is triumphed, sin has won. But after 3 days, the fog lifted, the message came through to this world. Jesus has risen. Jesus has defeated the enemy. Mm-hmm. Number three, it proves many important things. It proves there is a God, and that the God of the Bible is the true God. It proves the deity of our Lord, and thus that God loves you and came to be a ransom for your sins. See, there's a purpose behind all of this. God had a purpose behind all of this. Mm-hmm. We don't always understand his purpose initially.
That's right.
A lot of times we have to kind of wait things out, wait 3 days. It also proves that all who believe in Jesus Christ are justified before God because God showed through the resurrection that Christ was sinless and that he accepted his Son's atonement. The resurrection of Jesus Christ also proves that the believer in Christ can have a supernatural victory over sin in this life. For Jesus lives. He lives to provide the supernatural power to do it. And finally, the resurrection is also evidence of our own resurrection and a life with Jesus in glory beyond the grave. Number four, it calls for a life-saving response in faith from each of us. Have you responded in faith to this one who died for you and rose again? There is some news that by its very nature is restricted. It applies to one or two individuals, but not to everyone. A promotion is good news to the man who receives it, but not for the two or three others who fail to get the job. Almost all human news is restricted, but the good news of the resurrection is for all. Mm-hmm. Have you heard the good news? Have you believed it? Have you trusted in the risen Lord? This is the heart of Christianity.
Yeah.
It is not found in the liturgies of the churches nor specific formulations of Christian theology, important as they may be. Christianity is Christ, the risen Christ. He died and rose again for you. Will you not come to him?
Amen. Yeah.
He did so much for you, and he asked so little in return.
Amen.
Just your life.
Amen.
But to defeat the resurrection, number one, proves there is life after death.
That's right.
Otherwise, what's the point?
It's true.
And then we have the ascension, to prove that when God, he said, I'm going back to my Father, to prove there is some place to go. We don't just kind of wander around like the ghost in, you know, Christmas Carol.
Yeah.
You're going around like that. No.
Mm-mm.
You may go on wee yahoo a little bit. I don't know. It's like the song I can only imagine. Just you think, you know.
Yeah.
All those options. Am I going to sing? Am I going to dance? Am I going to fall silent? Am I going to fall on my face before him?
Yeah. What are we
probably all
do?
The above at some point.
That's what I'm saying.
But and then there's the promise of his return.
Mm-hmm.
He is going to return. We discussed that a lot. Folks have written books and speculated it's going to be like this, it's going to be like that. I will tell you a thing. Now, I'll tell you two things. There are two things nobody's going to say when Jesus returns. Nobody's going to say, where have you been? And nobody's going to say, you're early.
Mm-mm.
It's not going to matter. It's not going to matter who's right with their eschatology. Is it a pre-trib rapture? Is it a mid-trib rapture? Is it the wait till after? Is everybody going through the tribulation? We're going through half the tribulation. We skip the tribulation. There's all kinds of speculations.
Mm-hmm.
When he shows up, it's not going to matter.
That's right.
You know, a lot of times folks think about the rapture in terms of get me out of here. But I remember hearing David Jeremiah one time, and when he finished his message, the idea was for the rapture that who cares? Jesus is back. It's Jesus. That is what is going to be the central thing, that it is Jesus Christ back. Not when, not how, none of this, you know, but just the joy of his being there.
That's right.
I remember mentioning this before, that you know, folks used to get together in these some of these conventions that churches would have, and they would discuss different approaches to the return of Christ. And they would hold different positions. Don Mathis makes the comment one time I heard him. He says he and his son have different views on the on eschatology, on the, how the end times is going to work out.
Yeah.
That it's not something you break fellowship over. It's something you discuss with joy because you're discussing the possibilities of how of Jesus' return and what might how it might be.
Mm-hmm.
And you say, well, I understand where you come to. I don't think it means that. I think it's probably over, this over here. But you're discussing possibilities. Fellow that said one time, you know, prophecy is recognized in its fulfillment, not its anticipation.
Mm-hmm.
And so many times he said, well, you know, well, I go back to the classic thing, the guy with, you know, 88 reasons for the rapture in 88.
Mm-hmm.
Well, if the rapture came in 88, we're in trouble.
Yeah,
so he rewrote the book. Says, I'm in 89. I had an arithmetic mistake. They rewrote the, actually, it's 91, and nobody bought his 91 book, and you never could figure that out.
Uh-huh, uh-huh.
But he said, well, we're told you can't know the day and hour. So, but you can know the month and year. Really?
Yeah, come on.
I mean, what's Jesus? What are you saying? We say nobody knows the month, the day, or the hour.
Mm-hmm.
He's covering the whole calendar.
That's right.
You know,
right.
But folks do funny things to make money sometimes.
They do.
But just remember, there is a reality, there is a real Jesus, a real resurrection, and a real return.
Amen.
I don't know when it's going to be. For 2,000 years, folks have been saying any minute now, it hadn't been there yet. Don't get discouraged.
That's right.
Because God can be trusted to have his timing right.
Mm-hmm.
And it, you know, we may have to go through some stuff down here.
That's right.
But compared to eternity, it's not even the blink of an eye.
Amen.
And eternity with Christ is something to be looked forward to.
Amen.
Make sure you're on that side. Make sure, you know, that's a couple of went to the pastor says, as they talked in Sunday school about the Christian testimony. We don't have one of those. How can we have one of those?
Mm-hmm.
You'll find somebody maybe today, tomorrow, that doesn't know how to have one of those.
It's true.
Can you tell them? God bless. See you later.
Thanks for listening to The Front Porch here on Missionary Radio, and join us again tomorrow morning at 7 a.m.